In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And we pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, one of the best ways to get the true idea of what's going on here is simply to contrast how the shepherds approached Jesus with the person we studied last week, King Herod. A striking contrast, obviously. But I'd like to talk about shepherds a little bit in general, especially shepherds back then. Shepherds would sometimes have several flocks gathered together at night at the same place. Why? Because it was easier to watch over these sheep so they wouldn't go astray, easier to guard and protect them from thieves and wild animals. And so being a shepherd, if it was going to be done right, was not a slough job. It wasn't all that easy. It was sometimes 24/7. It's interesting that these particular shepherds were probably in the same area, same field where David had been a shepherd 900 years plus earlier. And so you have these shepherds, you have David the shepherd when he was a young boy, and of course now we also have the true shepherd coming onto the scene, David's heir, David's son, who would lay down his life for the sheep. Many shepherds back then were very simple folk. They probably lived on the land for the most part. They were also not known for being all that intelligent. In fact, one source says that shepherds were not allowed to testify at a trial because they were considered incompetent in some way or another, perhaps intellectually. So, very simple, unheralded nobodies. Not something you would go to school for. You wouldn't say, when I grow up, I want to be a shepherd. No, this was a rather lowly life. And yet, they are the first to hear about this birth. So imagine what happened to them. You have, first of all, this majestic angel appearing to them. But what caught their attention more so was the glory that shone around them. The only thing that might come close to this today in the sky would be the Northern Lights. I don't know if you've ever seen the Northern Lights. Maybe you're too far south here in this area, but you know, the Northern Lights are just amazing. But this far surpasses the Northern Lights. We have a number of examples in the Bible of the glory of the Lord shining, the glory of God manifesting itself, becoming visible. Moses experienced the glory of the Lord numerous times. The Israelites experienced the glory of the Lord on Mount Sinai, and also the temple was enlightened, you might say, by that pillar of fire. And of course, you have the three apostles who saw the glory of God at the transfiguration of Christ. Now, these people, when they saw the glory of the Lord, were not merely scared. They were terrified. They were sore afraid. Or as the Greek literally says, they feared a great fear. It was a mega fear. So the invisible, awesome nature of God becomes visible. Undoubtedly, they thought they were going to die. But of course, there was no place to run. They, in all likelihood, thought this was the last day. So, what happens? Well, therefore, the angel says, "Don't be afraid." And the shepherds may have been thinking, "Are you kidding? Why? Why shouldn't we be afraid?" And here's why. "I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David," that king, that former shepherd and now the king, back then, 950 BC. "Today in the city of David, a savior, one who would rescue them, save them from their sins and their spiritual and their eternal lostness and their spiritual and eternal death. A Savior has been born. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Anointed One. He is the Promised One. Plus, He is the Lord. So, don't be afraid." And then to top it all off and confirm it, suddenly, instantly, there was this great multitude, this great company of the heavenly host, a great army, thousands upon thousands, 10,000s upon 10,000s, maybe more, maybe millions, singing, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to people He favors." Now, keep in mind, this is not just a choir. You know, the word host literally means an army. An army that no foe, visible or invisible, could defeat. And so the shepherds were the first to hear. But they were also the first to see. Now, undoubtedly, they believed the message. "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they were given a sign by which they could identify and recognize this child, the type of bed he would be found in, a manger, a feeding trough. We don't know how long it took them to find this child in this unique bed. Maybe it took an hour, maybe it took most of the night. But they did find this child lying in this manger. And now, the interesting thing to note about this site was the striking contrast they had just come from. Again, remember where they had just come from. This invisible angel made visible. The invisible, awesome glory of God made visible in the most spectacular and fearful way. The sudden appearance and singing of thousands and tens of thousands of an army of angels. And contrast that to not only what looked like the ordinary world they were used to, but a very humiliating situation, a very humiliating home, a very humiliating bed for the one who was, they were just told, who was the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. So you have this unbelievable contrast. Never before was such a birth and an entrance announced by such fanfare and glory. And never was the presence of such a visitor found in such a humbling circumstance. And the reason for these two contrasting pictures is so that the shepherds might know and believe that this one who had come was the Lord who was bringing peace for the whole world, but that he would do so in the most demeaning and humiliating fashion possible. So this was the beginning of the humiliating life that Christ would have to live in order to bring about peace between the righteous God and judge and sinful human beings who inhabit this earth. This humiliating life begun here would lead to and culminate in the cross, where he would suffer and die for the sins of the shepherds, for the sins of Herod, for the sins of Caesar, for the sins of the Jews, for the sins of you and me. The manger was a predictor of the cross to come. The shepherds saw the baby, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, in the manger, and therefore they, in a sense, foresaw him on the cross. So they were the first to hear, they were the first to see, and they were also the first to spread the news of what they had heard and seen. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So, the shepherds, when they had been to the manger, they quit their jobs. They quit their vocations as shepherds, and they went into the full-time ministry to tell others. No, they didn't quit. They spread the word without giving up their vocation as shepherd. They were still shepherds. They continued their work as simple shepherds. But the message they had heard and seen was so spectacular and so important and so saving and so universal that they could not but help to tell others. Amen. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ. Amen.